Joining us out of Bali, Indonesia, is Barry Grossman, international lawyer. For more on the story, hey there, Barry. Good day to you. Hope you're safe and doing well out there in beautiful Bali. Your thoughts on this endless arms sales, and the U.S. refuses to get any concessions to protect the innocent women and children of Gaza. Why, Barry?
Well, I mean, if we go back historically to the view that's always been taken by the U.S. political establishment when it comes to arms sales, even Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, Brzezinski, said that the selling or even the giving away of arms was far too valuable as a tool of influence to be sacrificed at the altar of human rights. And more generally, it's pretty much acknowledged amongst experts, if we can call them that, that the U.S. sees its ability to give away and to sell arms to various countries globally, regardless of their human rights record, as a risk-free way of getting more economic, political, and strategic influence globally. So if we juxtapose that reality against the few safeguards that are in place, it shouldn't come as any surprise that it's basically carte blanche for any presidential administration to do what it likes, regardless of what Congress has to say about it. And of course, the proof is in the pudding. And from 2022 to 2023, U.S. arms sales went up from $50 to $80 billion. At least those that are reported as such. And this process, which is facilitated of advising Congress ahead of time, or more importantly, and there's a sort of pre-approval process where a couple of committees, one in the Senate and one in the House of Representatives, are put on notice. They debate it. They communicate their position to the State Department and to Congress. And if Congress is inclined to oppose it, they have to vote with a two-thirds majority to indicate.
We don't have much time left. We have about a minute left. I want to get the second question out to you there, Powell, before we wrap it up. But what's the legality? I've heard it's against both U.S. law to arm an entity that you know darn well where they're going to exactly where they're going to use those arms and what kind of population they're going to use those arms. It's both against international law that the U.S. has signed up to, international conventions, as well as U.S. law.
Well, domestically, you know, the laws that appear on their face to restrict arms sales are like Swiss cheese. They're full of holes. Mm. And it's very easy to navigate around any restrictions that might otherwise be in place. Internationally, it would be a lot more difficult if the international law that the U.S. has actually signed up for were to be enforced. This provision of arms to Israel in particular seems to me to be a clear violation of the Genocide Convention, and it makes the U.S. not only complicit, but basically involved in a conspiracy with Israel, with Germany, to some extent with the U.K. and other nations to carry out this genocide. And of course, everybody throws off by claiming, oh, well, it's not clear that it's a genocide, and they try and invoke sort of colloquial ideas of what a genocide is. But the reality is the Genocide Convention clearly defines what a genocide is. And it certainly doesn't require even the mass killing of people, although that's present here. And there's a whole number of different actions which qualify under the convention as being genocidal and therefore subject to prosecution. And there's no such thing as immunity. So internationally, this is clearly contrary to the law. Domestically, well, the U.S. Safeguards that are in place have been conceived of in a way that basically provides no resistance, no obstacle whatsoever to any administration that's willing to or that desires to do what they've always done, which is to arm up whoever they see fit to arm.
Thank you, Barry. Stay safe. Always a pleasure to check in with you. Mr. Barry Grossman there, international lawyer, joining us out of Bali, Indonesia.